The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
More free agents to look at today, going through the MLBTradeRumors.com's list of the top free agents today, going through 30 through 21. I'm Nick the Voice, joined by Chris Felico and Jeremy Schilling. We are the Bastards of Boston. We're going to jump right into this list, going with number 30, the first base DH, who I was looking at personally as mid-season trade potentially, until I went a little cold on him, Ryan O'Hearn. Let's start it off with Chris, go to Jeremy, come back to me. That's how we'll do it. And what do you think, Chris? Ryan O'Hearn, what are your impressions?
It looks like he's projected to get 2 years, $26 million. Seems like people are, the majority of people are saying Marlins, and then one person has him listed as potentially for the Mariners. If I just pull up his stats real quick, had about 17 home runs, 281 batting average, 63 RBIs. He is a first baseman, does play some outfield as well. I mean, I would agree. I think if it had been, you know, a mid-season trade last year, that might have been something that excited me with the Costas injury and then just obviously, you know, the platoon of players that we were fielding out at first base. However, I think with where this team is going and where they need to go moving forward, I'm not that high on signing him. I think he's going to be 33 or close to 33 by the time the season starts. I'd really like to see the Sox get younger before they get older, especially in the infield. We've already got Trevor Story, who's going to be, you know, in his close to his earlier mid-30s by the time his contract ends. In an emergency move, I'd be open to it, but I want nothing to do with him at this point.
What about you, Jeremy?
Absolutely not. We need an impact bat. If this is the move, then the offseason is going to be a gigantic fail. You're not going to subtract in center field. You're going to probably move Duran or Abreu, but one of those guys is going to stay. Your shortstop settled. Third and first base is where you need to improve the club from outside the organization. If this is the consolation prize, I mean, I'm going to be unwell. This can't be it. It just can't. And then Breslow kind of doubles down with the comments this last week. And if this is the move, the fan base is going to revolt. So for me, he's an okay player. He's going to be on a big league club. He's going to make some serious money, but it can't be with the Red Sox because this is the year we contend. And these two spots, first base and third base, have to be at least one of them. Has to be a legitimate impact, in my opinion, 30-plus home run guy.
I agree. I think Ryan O'Hearn is kind of like a consolation prize. If we end up with him, it's probably because we went after a guy like Alonso, couldn't get him, first base plans fall through, and you wind up with a guy like O'Hearn. There's stuff to like about him, and I think that whatever team adds him, there is a hole on many rosters that I'm sure he can fill. I'm just not sure that it's going to work on the Boston Red Sox. We need a bit of a higher caliber. He's been kind of a splitsy guy through his career. Granted, he's been better versus lefties. I think last season he actually was overall pretty good versus lefties. But the dude is just a consolation prize, I think is the best way to put it. Nothing against O'Hearn. Like I said, I think he's going to go to a team. I think he's going to help him, just like he did in the past. But for the Red Sox and what we need someone a lot bigger than, unfortunately, 17 home runs a year. I mean, like you said, Jeremy, I agree. 30 home runs a year, we need that power bat. O'Hearn's a nice player, but not the guy for the job. Coming in at number 29, JT Realmuto, a catcher, projected on the website 2 years, $30 million. If that were the case, what are you guys' thoughts on the catcher position with JT potentially filling it?
Yeah, I mean, I want nothing to do with him. I mean, that seems like crazy money for a guy who's going to be almost 35. I mean, he only hit 12 home runs last year, 52 RBIs, batted 257. I mean, we have Carlos Narvaez, who had, I think, one or two more RBIs, three more home runs. I mean, his average wasn't as good, but he's a hell of a lot cheaper and a heck of a lot younger. So I'm going to steer clear of him.
So I'm a huge JT Realmuto guy, have been for a long time, but that ended probably a season and a half ago. What you're paying for here is kind of what you're paying for when you go get a guy like Bregman, clubhouse guy, you know, assuming he can stay away from an injury, he can control the pitching staff, the run game. He's not the same offensive player he was 3 years ago. But for this kind of money, it's too much. I don't love Wong as the backup catcher. Terry had the take last time I was on that he's not sold on Narvaez. You don't have to be sold on Narvaez because you can always be a guy away if he, you know, doesn't hit or whatever else. I think you know what you have defensively, so it's not a complete egg there. I don't think, given this team's other needs, what I've previously mentioned, and a legitimate number two starter, that this is a spot where you spend real money. So while this is something you could potentially look at, this position catcher, at the trade deadline, I don't think there should be an off season where we're looking at this position.
I agree completely. I think, first base is, at least you can say Ryan O'Hearn was a consolation prize. JT Realmuto would just be a misprioritization of assets. I completely agree. You go out, you trade for a guy. If you're going to spend $15 million a year on a catcher, he's got to be your everyday guy. Right now, I'm fine taking the flyer on Narvaez, and I'm similar. You know, Wong could come or go, but he's not costing us money, and that's money that could go towards guys higher up on the list to fill those priority spots. Speaking of a priority spot, we need a couple of infielders, perhaps. Of course, with Bregman leaving the club, a lot of uncertainty over Meyer's health, really. Here comes number 28, Ha-Sung Kim, also projected for a two-year deal, $30 million. It's kind of an interesting one because he's not a star, but he's had a decent year, career so far, coming off kind of a lackluster year that was cut short. What do you guys think of Ha-Sung Kim?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't have any interest. Looking at his stats, I also don't really understand why he's this high on the list for that money. I mean, he has absolutely no power. I feel like if we just took our platoon guys and left him in for a full season, the amount of games this guy's played, they could hit five home runs. They could have 20 RBIs. Absolutely not. Especially now, I mean, we have Story at shortstop. It's more than likely going to be Mayer at third. And the guys that we're going to obviously parade around at second and first until we know what we're going to end up with as far as some serious bats here, the guy's got no pop, not a ton of RBIs. I'm out.
So up the middle defense for this team is not an issue. So catcher, shortstop, Story, I'll get to second in a minute, and center field's Rafaela, who just won a gold glove. So this is in a position of need, one. Two is we have a ton of people that can play second base. You can play Campbell. You can play Hamilton. I'm okay with Romy. So this is, again, a spot where I might look at if we're good in a bunch of spots and we just can't get it right at second base at the deadline, but we're in it, you know, we're making a run and a push. I could see going to pull a veteran off a bad club and sticking him at second base, but it's not a need this offseason. And so why I say second base is if you were to go get this player, either Story would move to second or Kim would play second. Team's needs are very, very well defined. And this just isn't one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at Ha-Sung Kim, I think this is another one of those guys that there is a role for him on a lot of teams out there. It's just not for the Red Sox. You go back to what he did a few years ago. He was excellent. I actually remember a few years ago hearing his name tossed around in, you know, Sox fans saying, oh, could we maybe trade for this guy? Could we? Oh, man, I wish we got him. And, you know, maybe if he came to the club and we were able to build around him, you know, with him in mind as the long-term plan, maybe he would have fit that role quite well. But as of right now, again, we need power. Defense up the middle, like you said, it's just not the urgent requirement right now. Sure, we need an infielder, but I need an infielder that's going to give me 25, 30 home runs a year. So Kim, nothing against him. Sure, he's going to be a solid player for whoever he signs with, but just not for the Red Sox. Coming in at 27 is a familiar face and the first starting pitcher we'll be talking about tonight. Lucas Giolito, projected to make a two-year contract, $32 million total. That's $16 million a year. It's funny, I heard something on Twitter about the Yankees being interested in him. I saw a little bit of fanfare about that. What do you guys think about bringing back Giolito?
Yankees could have him. I'm out on Giolito. The truth is I saw what I needed to see from Giolito. You know, he was shaky up and down for the majority of the beginning of last year, kind of stabilized himself, and then started to look like he might be our number two guy, which Bayo was to his credit too, but then Bayo teetered off, Giolito got hurt, and when we needed him, he wasn't there. You know, had Giolito not gotten hurt and he turned out to be the guy who pitched in game three and we had moved on against the Yankees, completely different story, but he wasn't. I don't want to talk about pitchers because, you know, as Jeremy mentioned and you know, obviously Craig Breslow said, we are in the market for a number two starter, top of the rotation. We're not looking for threes. We're not looking for fours. We're certainly not looking for fives. We have a ton of those guys on this roster already and in the pipeline. You're not talking about a bona fide number two that's a free agent until you get maybe into the top 10, top five of this free agency class. And even then, more than likely, you're not getting one unless you're acquiring it via trade, because I don't even know if the guys on the list are worth what you can go out there and get in the market, especially with the prospect pool we have. Giolito was a nice addition for the money relative to the contract that we gave him. If you really care that much, because all you heard is, oh, I love being in Boston. And then in the first chance he got, he signed out. And I get it. Like, this is a business, but it is a business, so I don't want him back.
Yeah, I mean, this team has a surplus of starting pitchers, right? So you have Crochet, you have Bayo, you're getting Houck back, you're getting Cutter Crawford back, Connelly emerged, Tolley's an option. I'm missing people, but you get my point. I counted two or three shows ago. I think we had eight or nine guys. You're probably going to get one or two in the bullpen. You're going to have probably three in Worcester, and then you're going to have your five with the big league club, right? So you have surplus. One thing we learned last year is that if your number two is Lucas Giolito or Brian Bayo, that's not good enough to get over the hump. It might get you to the playoffs, but it isn't going to get you past the Yankees or whoever else, you know, the Blue Jays now. So this team needs a number two. Lucas has already proved that he can't do it. He's going to probably be a three, potentially a four on a good team, unless he chases top money, in which case he's going to go to the, you know, White Sox, make a bunch of money and not win anything. So thank you for your time. Everyone said a bunch of nice things about you. You were clearly a good guy coming through the documentary, but no, thank you.
Yeah, you know, his stint on the Red Sox, it was short and sweet. It was exactly what it needed to be, I think, for both sides. Gio was able to bounce back and get himself an MLB contract, showing that he was not washed up, and the Red Sox got a relatively stable starting pitcher out of a guy that was deemed a lottery ticket during a year where a lot of other guys got injured or traded away. The thing is with Gio, and I don't want to sound like a spurned lover or sour grapes here, has nothing to do with the fact that he's leaving us and potentially going to a rival. He's one of those guys that I'm not excited about, even from another team's perspective, necessarily. You look at, you know, the metrics underneath him all year, they weren't quite there. You look at his FIP even, it wasn't quite there. You looked at his 3.41 ERA as maybe a guy who was getting a bit lucky. And at times, it certainly seemed that way, just based off the eye test. We need to aim high. You know, just like we've been saying when it comes to a guy like Ha-Seong Kim or Ryan O'Hearn or Lucas Giolito, we do not need middle of the pack players. We do not need mediocre talent. We do not need league average. We need superstars. Unfortunately, Lucas Giolito, I'm not necessarily sold that he's going to be a 3.5 ERA pitcher next year. And really, the Red Sox need maybe even someone a little bit better than that. Number 26, going with Brad Keller, a relief pitcher, projected to earn quite a salary, 3 years, $36 million. Pretty good for a reliever. How do you guys feel about Brad Keller for the bullpen?
I mean, for me, the bullpen to me, like Jeremy said, is we're going to have so many different options, because I truly believe with the surplus of starting pitching that we have and, you know, projected young talent, there's going to be spots for them, you know, like a Toley, et cetera. And Brad Keller, like, he had a stint on the Red Sox, I think, in 2024, and he wasn't that good from what I remember. I think his ERA was probably somewhere in, like, the four range, high fours. And I think he had a 2.07 last year, it looks like, with the Cubs. I don't want to be the guy who is paying people off of these one-off years. I want to be the guy who's getting people, having them have this, you know, resurgence like a Giolito, and let someone else pay him if that's going to be the case. So I'm out on him.
Yeah, similarly, this is a lot of money for what would be your eighth inning guy. I think signing somebody like this was nipped in the bud when they extended Chapman in August, September of this year. And that's okay. Again, like some other positions that aren't currently of need, the bullpen is something you can address much more inexpensively, a prorated contract, expiring contract at the trade deadline. Of course, we don't have a GM that can actually pull that off, but in a perfect world, that's where you would upgrade the bullpen. I think we're set going in there. Would I like an arm like this guy's, you know, where now he's throwing 97 as a relief pitcher, and I think he threw almost 70 innings with a 2.07 ERA. Yeah, I mean, every team would like that. And look at the guys, the writers of this article projecting him to go to the Yankees or the Braves. So, you know, he's probably going to go to a contender and be a big piece. But the Red Sox have not shown that they're willing to spend to 280, which is what it's going to take to add a guy like this, a third baseman, a power hitting first baseman, and a number two starter. So of those needs, this is like fourth or fifth on the list, and therefore I don't think it's a real option.
Yeah, you know, a funny coincidence with us talking about both O'Hearn and Keller tonight in the same breath is that both are Kansas City washups who went somewhere else and kind of revitalized their career, found something that they never had before. The thing with O'Hearn is that he's been doing it for a few years, though. Brad Keller is kind of a one-year wonder so far, and I agree with you guys. That's not exactly someone that I want to bet on. I mean, this is a guy who came up as a starter, sort of was, I think, in a swingman role for a time. And really, this year, his age 29 season, is the first year that he has been a serious threat out of the pen, and really in the MLB since his debut. You know, you look under the hood, the guy was one of the best relievers in the game. But I agree, I'm hesitant to give out closer money or akin to it and lock into a guy for 3 years, you know, based off of what could very well be a fluke and based off of some of the projection models, which, you know, how much stock you put into those is up to you. But a lot of projection models are saying the guy is probably due for regression. And I agree. That's not someone we need to roll the dice on. $12 million a year, better spent elsewhere. Could go somewhere, could be great, could go somewhere, could crash and burn. Either way, not necessarily something we need. Coming up at number 25, something that we do need is a starting pitcher. This guy's a little bit older. The midseason acquisition that a lot of us were eyeing, Merrill Kelly. 2 years, $36 million a year. How would you guys feel if we wound up with him?
Well, I think, like, you know, Jeremy said before, like, if this is our number two, right? Like, if this is what we end up settling on, which we all agree that's what we need, that would be a huge disappointment. No different than Jeremy's point as far as with the infield. Like, if we end up with Ryan O'Hearn and that's our power bat, like, that's a problem. So again, if the Red Sox were like the traditional contender and it was like, oh, we just need someone who's a three or four to really bolster this lineup or rotation, yeah, Merrill Kelly would be a fine option. However, we have a bunch of Merrill Kellys on this roster at this point. We don't need any more. So I don't even find, you know, what's the point in even talking about it? I'm out on.
Yeah, no, never, not a chance. What are some of the their other options? It just doesn't fit. It's Joe Kelly. If the Twins absolutely refuse to give him up or the ask is ridiculous, then the consolation's Dylan Cease. And then anything other than that is a fail, in my opinion, unless you're going to go outside the box and go get an Alcantara from Miami or somebody like that. This would just be adding to the backlog of 2 through 9 starting pitchers that we have that are capable of pitching at the big league level. Good player, resurrected his career overseas. Impressive. I root for guys like this. Hopefully he makes a ton of money in his last probably multiple year deal. It's not going to be with the Red Sox.
Agreed completely. You know, this was a guy who I really, really wanted midseason, I think as many of us did. Funnily enough, his second half numbers for the Rangers didn't actually, he didn't do all that well, quite frankly. He didn't help them get over the hump, certainly. Who's to say what would have happened if he came to Boston instead? I agree. I mean, the guy's older. He's going to be a little bit pricey, relatively speaking. I would much rather spend $30 million a year on a guy who really deserves it as a true front-of-the-line pitcher than $18 million on a guy who's just going to join a sea of depth, ultimately, especially for 2 years, especially for, I don't know, just an older guy. You know, I like Kelly as a pitcher. I like watching him, certainly. Best of luck to him next year. I'm sure he'll be good, but for the Red Sox, we just need a sure thing, and we need not just a sure thing, but a sure thing that's like 777 jackpot. Merrill Kelly, I don't think, reaches that. Similarly, another older starting pitcher, number 24 on the list, Chris Bassitt for the Toronto Blue Jays, 2 years, $38 million. So slightly more expensive than Kelly for a different kind of pitcher. Also 36 years old. What do you guys think about Chris Bassitt?
So it's not dissimilar to the Merrill Kelly position. I'm not going to restate the whole thing. He also just won a World Series, so he has the pedigree to be on a team that's capable of doing that. And if we didn't have Bayo, this would be somebody I'd be looking at maybe, in that three spot. But again, there's a surplus. Bayo's still getting better, in my opinion. You know, he ascended in 2025. I think we'll see his best this year or next year. How long he stays at his best, you know, that's TBD. We got a good contract on him. But again, it's Joe Kelly, prize, backup Dylan Cease. Anything beyond that, unless you're thinking outside the box, I'm going to be a little baby about.
Yeah, so... Well, Chris Bassitt almost won a World Series, Jeremy. Let's not forget the Dodgers
actually did. Oh, I'm sorry. In my alternate reality, the Dodgers somehow lost. Yeah.
Well, I just got to continue to piss off the Canadian.
Oh, Chris, did we lose you?
Canadian fans, because they hate me anyway.
Little bit of a stutter step on your mic there. Mind repeating that?
Why don't you go, Nick, while he's coming back?
Pardon me. Well, he sorts that out. I guess I'll give my take on Bassitt. And I completely agree with you, Jeremy. Funnily enough, having him and Kelly on the list right next to each other, I think is very fitting because a lot of what you say about one applies to another. Both of these guys, they're older, solid, you know, number three, number four type of pitchers. I think that a lot of teams could benefit from having a guy like that. You look, too, at who the panelists on the list actually, predicted these guys going to. Angels, Diamondbacks, Braves, Athletics, Yankees. These are guys, you know, teams rather, who could use a guy like that. These guys are very useful to be a sort of back end or middle anchor. But the Red Sox, they just need someone better, preferably an ace, you know, not necessarily saying it's going to be a Scooble or whatnot, but, you know, at least a Cease. You know, at least a guy with that upside. I think we've kind of seen the best from Kelly. I think we've seen the best from Chris Bassitt. And the Sox just need someone to come out and really hold hands with Crochet and stand shoulder to shoulder and say, we are the demons of this rotation. You can't have a conversation midseason about whoever we get. We cannot have a conversation about, oh, is this guy or Bayo going to be starting this game for us? You know, unless it's in the context of Bayo taking a huge step forward or earlier or one of the other depth pieces. So, yeah, I'm out on this guy. I mean, money better spent elsewhere for sure. Number 23 on the list, another infielder, another name, funnily enough, who I've heard in the past as a guy that some Sox fans maybe wanted us to trade for at one point or another. This is going to be Jorge Polanco, predicted to score a three-year deal, $42 million total. He's a general infielder, I believe, plays a little bit of second, a little bit of third, it says here. What is your opinion, Jeremy, on Jorge Polanco?
This means you didn't get Alonso. This means you didn't re-sign Bregman. This means you didn't have an outside-the-box plan to go get somebody else. And this is potentially possible. It's not what I want, especially after Breslow's comments last week. You know, be the sort of organization that stands behind what you say. And I'm not going to cross sports here, but I can't stand organizations that say things like Gerard Mayo said last year with the Pats, if anybody remembers, like, let's burn some cash. And then he has a meeting with ownership and it's like, hey, settle down. Like, be the sort of organization that stands behind the things that you say. Breslow's not Sam Kennedy. Okay. Sam Kennedy will tell you your house is not on fire while it's behind you on fire. That's not Breslow. You can say what you want about him. He's not been proven to be a straight up liar. So I believe they met, they set the budget, they set the game plan, they prioritized free agents, and they're prioritizing bigger names. And so I think their A plan will have failed if this is the sort of thing we're looking at.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to Polanco, he's a good hitter for sure. He's a switch hitter, which always is nice to add that type of versatility to your lineup. But my big problem comes not just from the money and the age, which are both definitely detriments to that contract. It's also the defense. You know, you look at the defense. I was going to say it's fallen off, but looking at the numbers, it's never really been there. He wasn't a particularly good shortstop back in the day for Minnesota, and he hasn't been particularly good since switching to second and third base. So this isn't the defensive versatility that the Red Sox have been preaching for several years. This isn't a right-handed power bat, certainly. He can hit right-handed, did hit 26 home runs this year. But I agree. I sort of see him as a consolation prize akin to Ryan O'Hearn, because ultimately, if this dude is going to be on the team, I would almost rather him learn to play first base, you know, and maybe be a better defender over there. He's 6 foot tall, you know, so he could probably do it. But just like you said, Jeremy, that's at the cost of a guy like Alonso, a guy who is just significantly more of an impact than, unfortunately, Jorge Polanco would be. We did, by the way, for those of you who are just listening, Chris, unfortunately, is having some technical difficulties. So we are just going to go on with the list until he perhaps rejoins us. But I didn't want anyone who's audio only right now to think that we were ignoring him. So we'll go to the next member of the list, number 22. Shota Imanaga, another starting pitcher, a guy who's a little bit younger than the two that we just discussed, or three rather, that we just discussed earlier, projected to get a three-year, $45 million contract, which is not bad money, but again, for the quality of pitcher, what do you think, Jeremy?
So for the same reasons I mentioned earlier, right, we need a number two, this isn't it. But as to the specific player, why he can't be that guy, he gave up a ton of home runs, a ton. He was averaging like 2.2 big flies per nine. That's insane. I don't love his stuff already. He's not a power guy. Not that you have to be, but with the home runs and, you know, a fastball that sits in the low, like really like 90 miles an hour. This would be to me a bottom of the rotation thing where I've already discussed that we don't need that.
And Chris, welcome back. We're talking about Shota Imanaga. And if you wanted to give some thoughts on Jorge Polanco as well, you're free to do so.
My thoughts are we have a shortstop, and while he might be an upgrade for second base, I just don't see the Sox going in that direction. And he's not going to provide the power that we need to really, you know, quench the thirst of Red Sox fans at this point. And then as far as Shota Imanaga, that's an interesting one. But I don't feel like he's anywhere close to a number two that we need. I think he would be great three or four. And, you know, I think like many of the people that are on this list up until this point, he's a guy that would have been great for last year's team, like many of the other, you know, players on this list. But for where we're looking to go at this point, I am out on Shota Imanaga.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny when it comes to Shota Imanaga, because when I think of him, it seems like he's been in the league a little bit longer than he has, you know, only 2 years under his belt. His first year with Chicago was very, very good with a 2.91 ERA in 29 games. Last year was, unfortunately, a serious regression for him. You know, you look at the FIP, it jumped up from 3.72 to 4.86. As Jeremy pointed out, the home runs came way up and the strikeouts went down. That's a bad combination for a guy to bet on. He's got great control, but ultimately a lack of strikeouts and hard contact. That's not a number two. That's not a front of the rotation type of guy. So Shota Imanaga, I'm sure he's a solid player. I'm sure a lot of teams could benefit from maybe betting on a guy like that. Maybe a team that's sort of in like the Athletics type of period. You know, you aim for an upside on a guy who you're really signing to be a number four. For the Red Sox, again, that's not what we need. It's pretty well defined that we need game changers. We're already a playoff team, pretty much. We need to be a playoff team that can actually win a series. Lastly, on the list, we are going with number 21, Robert Suarez, not to be confused with Ranger Suarez. Robert Suarez, the relief pitcher from the San Diego Padres. He's been there for 4 years. 34 years old this year, going on 35, and projected to get a three-year deal, $48 million total, which is pretty hefty. What do you guys think about that, starting with Chris?
I mean, any reliever from the San Diego Padres I'd be interested in, especially after you watched them last year shut us down for a series. But I think Jeremy made this point before. I think of all the needs that we need and the money that's going to have to be allocated to them, I just don't see bullpen being a top priority, not when it comes to some of the major funds that are going to have to be spent here. But I mean, listen, I would love to have a guy like Robert Suarez. I mean, you would start to be building an absolute like dominant bullpen that would just shut people down, the super pen that everyone talks about. But even then, if that's the rate we were going to go, it's building a super pen. I think there's probably even better options than Robert Suarez on the market for more reasonable deals. So I would say not quite a fit for the Sox right now, but listen, if we're able to get him and still fill the other needs that we have, more power to us.
Yeah, I'll look at this one a little bit differently, all right? This is the type of guy, if you're the Red Sox, you go get if you don't have the starting pitching. Chris mentioned the term super pen, which kind of got poked at in Boston media at the deadline when that was an option instead of going to get another starter. And there are teams that, you know, I think the Brewers come to mind where they just didn't get depth out of their starter rotation. So you have to rely heavily on the bullpen. Then it would make sense to go spend $15-16 million on a player like this and build from the back of the bullpen forward. But that's not where we are. So I just don't see it. Again, you can always strengthen the bullpen at the trade deadline, even though Breslow has shown that he's just terrible in that circumstance.
Yeah, Robert Suarez is an interesting player. I like him certainly a lot more than Brad Keller, just because he has a more proven track record. You know, 4 years in the league, one of them, I think, cut short by an injury, if I recall correctly, and the other three, very good. You know, the only problem really does come down to the money and the age. I think if we are going to sign a relief pitcher, this is probably one of the better options. I mean, the article actually mentions that he does not have a qualifying offer attached, of course, which is very good. Later in the list, you know, Edwin Diaz does, of course. So some team is going to lose out on a draft pick if they sign him. That's a tough position to be in, especially for a relief pitcher. So Robert being exempt from that certainly makes him a little more tantalizing. He's a fun guy to watch pitch, high leverage type of guy, capable, but is that where we want to spend the money? I agree with your assessment, Jeremy. I think that if we don't go out and get an ace and we have money left over, then okay, I guess we need to sort of hit the panic button and build something different, you know, go in a different direction. But, you know, the problem, especially with Robert Suarez, for me, it really just does come down, I hate to be a broken record, but that age, you know, he's going into his age 35 season, and I'm sure his age 35 season will be very good. But then, you know, there's 35, there's 36, there's 37. He's been a very solid pitcher throughout his whole career, but you have to wonder, will he remain healthy? Will he be able to adjust as he reaches that sort of ending point, you know, of his 30s? You don't really know. He's projected to go to either the Mets or the Dodgers, which I think says a lot about his talent and also about the types of teams that are looking to fill a hole on their roster like this. They want a super pitching staff. Robert Suarez is great for that. The Red Sox have a lot more needs on the offensive side of the ball, as well as in the rotation. So this dude is good, but not quite what we need. He's also not related, I don't believe, to Ranger Suarez. So, you know, there's no even like a clever chemistry joke you could make. Like, oh, well, we'll just sign both brothers. You know what I mean? I believe that they are unrelated. So that is the 30 through 21 overall. What would you guys say? Not a lot of busts necessarily, but for the Red Sox, just not good fits.
Yeah, there's not a lot of true fits here for the Sox. I think if we start talking about these guys being on the Red Sox, it's because we missed out on what we really needed. What I can say is, you know, one of the reasons that I had to jump off the show, I had my friend Jeff Passan give me a call. Number 12 on this list, which will be in a later episode, Josh Naylor, first baseman, did just sign a five-year extension with the Mariners, in which it was projected he would get a five-year $90 million deal. There's no numbers attached to that deal, but it was a five-year deal, so this article was correct, and I think the majority of it did predict him going back to the Mariners. So, I mean, that kind of stings a little bit, because the one thing I'm thinking is if we don't end up with it, well, before you shake your head, Jeremy, if we don't end up with a Pete Alonso, I would rather have a Josh Naylor before Tristan Casas. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, it goes to we're focusing on where we have holes. There's a lot of areas we don't. We have a legitimate ace. We have starting pitching depth. We have a bullpen that had a pretty good year. Your outfield's fine. You actually have a surplus. Your utility's fine. You know, it's really first, third, and a number two, and you're really built to go potentially compete for a championship. So I think the fact that we're not interested in a lot of these players so far on this list goes to one, that we have very specific needs to fill this roster. And two, the roster itself, if we were to fill those two or three needs, is pretty goddamn good. So that's why I think we're not super focused on some of these guys, where in past years, 2-3 years ago, we probably would have been. But this team's knocking on the door. They got to get better in these key areas, and then we'll see.
I agree completely. You know, you look at all these guys, a lot of them, they're 2 to 2.5 war guys, you know, and there is certainly a role for those guys. A lot of teams could use a guy who's an anchor like that. The Red Sox, unfortunately, just need a little bit more at the positions of strength. I feel like we're well above average. At positions of weakness, we would like to get ourselves not to average, but to, you know, exceptional, you know, hopefully. That's how you transform a team that sort of ekes out a playoff spot, you know, in many ways, loses out on the division to the Toronto Blue Jays, loses to the New York Yankees. That's how you get over the hump. You know, it's not going to be with an average player. So up until this point on the list, you know, sort of 50 through 30 now, you know, or 20 rather, there's not a lot of interesting names for us exactly for the reasons we've described. Looking ahead at the list, just taking a peek, lots of interesting names. I think the top 20 is going to be a lot more, maybe not contentious, but a lot more alluring, you know, a lot more discussion about, ooh, yeah, I like this guy. Ooh, but I would prefer this guy. But wait, this guy comes along, you know. So as soon as our team gets into that, I think you'll be hearing a lot more discussion about, oh, yes, this is a guy I want the Sox to sign. For right now, I think these guys are going to have a good year somewhere, going to help a team win more games than they would have otherwise, but it's not going to be in Boston. Any closing thoughts, guys?
No, I mean, I predicted what the best trade for the Sox would be in our war room, and maybe I'll reveal that to the fans at some point, but other than that, no more thoughts.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to that. Maybe Passan can give us a little bit of a leak, you know, and maybe you can convince him to throw us a little bone here so we could break something.
I'll do my best.
I appreciate that. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We do appreciate it. Just before I sign off here, a comment that just came in from Jules said, we need elite players. I think that that's the perfect bow to put on the episode. That is exactly right. You need top shelf. I've been Nick, joined by Chris and Jeremy. We've been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much for watching. Let's hope the Red Sox go out, sign someone good, and avoid potential landmines. Take care.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.